Hey, Hawkeye fans, Chad Leistico here. We'll be joined by Mark Emmert momentarily, and we have football to talk about, actual football games. Kind of amazing. The Big Ten has approved a return for the weekend of October 23rd, 24th, and now we get to talk about it with my buddy Mark Emmert. And you were on the Big Ten conference call this morning. We wanted to get you guys an instant reaction podcast, a short one. We got a regular radio show tonight. But this is urgent. This is big. We needed to get you something. So here you go. Mark, your reaction.
Yeah, I mean, certainly a lot to digest there, right?
No kidding.
In fact, we got a season after all is very notable. We had kind of given up on that, right? And they're going to try to play 9 games in 9 weeks. So they've kind of backed themselves into a corner there a little bit in terms of there's really no wiggle room at all. And I know that's what you're probably going to write about here today. But what do you think of that? Do you think that's feasible to actually get 9 games in 9 weeks during a pandemic?
Yeah, it's a great question. Obviously, I would, you know, in a perfect world, you build it just as we talked about from the very beginning. You build in a lot of flexibility so you can, you know, push things back as far as you need to, but now they've kind of run out of that flexibility. And we heard a lot about there was a lot of momentum for an October 17th start. And I do think they made the right decision here to push it back that extra week for things I've written about. It's still just 5 weeks away as of Friday. That's a person I talked to within Iowa football said at least 4 to 5 weeks. I think 6 is better. Yeah. All of a sudden they're going to be asking these guys to play 9 straight Saturdays or Fridays, you know, with pretty limited training camp. So it's going to be quite a challenge. I don't mind, I guess, using that as a starting point, but I think you just also have to go into this expecting, Mark, that there are going to be teams that can't play certain weeks. And really, they've run out of flexibility to push those games back. So if they can't play, they won't play, unless you know the rest of the college football world, you know, needs to push things back further as well. But obviously, they're targeting the college football playoff here, that seems to be, you know, they feel good on the medical side. I know we're talking a little more competition here, yeah. but I have. It'll be interesting to see how many of these 14 teams can pull off a 9-game schedule. And that is something I'm going to write about, but it's fun to at least talk about football. And I guess just to pose something back at you, are you comfortable with some of the testing outlines that you heard today, saw today, and maybe give our listeners an idea of, you know, what exactly will constitute a team ready to play and what will not?
Yeah, I actually thought, I mean, this is really aggressive plan. I mean, it's certainly more than what the Big 12 is doing, for example. You know, daily testing of every athlete, every trainer, every coach, anybody that's on the field for those practices, that's really good. And the fact they're going to have the follow-up cardiac testing for anybody that tests positive, because obviously that's been a concern expressed out there, is like what effect this could possibly have on a player's heart or athlete's heart. And then anybody that tests positive, that was surprising me. They're going to take at least 21 days away from competition if you test positive. So you would miss potentially 3 games if you test positive during the season. So that seems really, really extreme in a good way. I mean, they really are taking this seriously. They are outlining some medical protocols that I think would make the players and their families feel safe, I would assume. And that's good. That's good on them. I mean, that was the one thing they said that was their stated reason for postponing the season in the first place. So to come back and then not address a lot of those concerns would have been a really bad look. I mean, obviously we know they're coming back on October 24th and playing to try to get into that college football playoff. I mean, there's no question that's a big incentive here, but I also think they're being very cautious about it on the medical side. And I think that's to their benefit. I mean, I think they should get credit for that.
Yeah, I agree. I think you know, the Big Ten obviously was very determined, I think, to outline everything really clearly as best they could.
Yep.
That said, they buried a lot of interesting facts throughout this call, and I didn't get to. I you know I had a question, didn't get in. A lot of our colleagues across the USA Today network didn't get in. They only allowed maybe a dozen questions outside of Dave Revson, which is fine. I mean, it was an hour. They gave us a good amount of time. But what are some of the things, I guess, that the fans thing, for example, really stood out to me as something that would have been nice to see that in the original release if that was already decided unanimously, as it sounds like it was.
Yeah. That release was all medical protocols, basically. They never said in there that was an 8-game schedule, specifically. Barry Alvarez had to give us that information. They never talked about that end of the season, what they're calling Champions Week, where you're going to have every team in the East play a team in the West, so the first-place teams will play each other like usual, but then second-place teams will play each other, third-place teams will play each other. Like you mentioned, they never said anything about not allowing ticket sales anywhere for the year. I thought that would be up to each individual school, like it is elsewhere in the country, but they're basically saying no way. There's no fans at all anywhere. Family members only.
Maybe some students, I thought I heard him say.
Maybe. Yeah, okay, yeah. So that's very interesting. You're right. There was a lot of things that I just wonder, if no one had specifically asked those questions, would they even have volunteered that information at all? Or were they just going to keep that to themselves for now?
I know. That's fine. It was odd. Some of the questions that I think I'm hoping to hear back from the Big Ten is, what it'll mean, what they will do if a team can't play. Barry Alvarez was actually kind of asked that question and really didn't even answer it at all. So
exactly.
And to be clear, we don't have a schedule yet. That will be later this week. But so originally it was going to be a 9-game conference schedule. Then the revised was a 10-game conference schedule, which we saw everything. Now it'll be interesting to see what this 8-game schedule looks like. Obviously, every team will play its own division and then get two crossovers. You would think for Iowa that would mean Penn State plus either Ohio State and Michigan State would be my guess because those are on the original schedule. But kind of interested to see how that plays out as well because, having Penn State as your crossover in a very short schedule does will be a challenge if that other crossover is Ohio State, for example. That would be a really tough road for the Hawkeyes.
But they would have to come here now.
Good point. You know what? That's a good point.
That's why I think it's Michigan State, Penn State.
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good point. Yeah.
Well, then the other wrinkle is that second schedule they released suddenly had Maryland on it in Iowa City.
True. Maybe they take that game and your crossover. I don't know.
But yeah, my assumption is their two crossover games will be at Penn State and Michigan State here.
Okay, all right.
But it's not a good year to be assuming anything, Chad.
Exactly.
Maybe they'll play six East teams and only two West teams. Who knows?
Well, one thing, again, I know we're focused more on competition a little bit here. The medical stuff really gets into the weeds, and you guys can read a lot of that coverage at hawkcentral.com. This plan does, I think, alleviate some of the, even further weirdness of playing like in bubble domes, that we were talking about, like in the winter. Now you're going to at least get on-campus sites again into December. But again, that's not going to bother the fans. I mean, Kirk Ferentz even said a while back, the weather really, that's not really a factor in terms of, for the players, it's more of
NFL
a
desert.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of an exciting prospect, I think, to think about that you're going to see the Hawkeyes playing four times in Kinnick Stadium, on TV, but still you're going to see them on, playing
great
there
the players,
theoretically.
So, yeah, they get to swarm out.
Great point. Yep, yep.
There'll be some, I don't know what there'll be, if the band will be there or whatever.
I think it will be.
But, there'll be some semblance of normalcy that way, right?
I would think they would have a band there.
They'll look good on TV.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and you'll hear something,
I agree.
So I think those are some, I don't know. I mean, again, just looking at the positives here, we've dwelled so much on, all the negativity for the last 5 weeks. It feels good to kind of talk about football games right now. And I do think, just overall, I do think that the outline of their plan does look good medically speaking. That said, I saw a tweet from Keith Murphy on this. I think I kind of feel this in my heart of hearts as well, is this daily testing is more a response to all the backlash. I don't think these presidents really wanted to play that much, but the backlash has just been so extreme that they tried to find a way. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, that could be, they say now it's unanimous. So,
right.
So that means 11 presidents changed their mind. That's a lot to try to swallow. I mean, I don't want to be too skeptical, but they're all on board apparently. I don't know. It's hard to know. I mean, you don't want to make it sound like they're just being totally crass and, you know, trying to appease, the fans and players and get that TV money back. But this certainly had to be a factor in all this as well. But I do think that if I were president of a university, the plan that's laid out here medically would ease my mind, honestly. I mean, I do think they're going to make every effort to keep these guys safe. And it does sound like they have no problem pulling the plug. If a team has a little bit of an outbreak, they'll just pull them away from competition for a week or whatever and suffer those consequences. So I do think they have a pretty good faith effort here.
Yeah. So one of the, you're probably wondering if you're listening to this, what will it take for a team not to be able to play? Well, again, that's outlined in the Big Ten statement, but it still wasn't really that clear.
It's murky. Yep.
They outline a team positivity rate, okay, which is defined as number of positive tests divided by a total number of tests administered. Now, obviously, mm-hmm. if you're requiring daily testing, you know, that would be in the ballpark of 150 tests per day between mm-hmm. staff and players.
Right.
To be green, you have to have a 0 to 2% positivity rate, which, let's say again, that number is 150. 2% would be 3 positive tests, right? So that that would be green. Orange would be 2 to 5%. 5% in that case would be 7 to 8 positive tests. Mm-hmm. And then red would be deemed, obviously, you know, let's say like the 11 positives in football that one week, they'd be red, okay? And then so that's one metric. And then the population positivity rate, which I'm still not 100% clear on. They did not answer this very well.
They never explained that, yeah. They were asked directly about that as well.
Yeah, by the, I think it was the Wall Street Journal, New York Times. So, I mean, there were some hard questions on there. Number of positives individuals divided by total population at risk. So that total population, I'm not 100% what that is. Did you ascertain what that might be?
We'll have to speculate, I guess, for now, because that's the question that was not answered. Because the question was they asked, the Wall Street Journal reporter asked, was about does that mean the rate in the entire, you know, campus community or the entire city or county in which your campus is located? And not the case,
right? He said this the football team.
So I wonder if that means when he talks about, you know, the way that they worded that, does that mean not just the players but everybody they've been around, like, you know, their family members or anybody else? I'm just not sure what the difference is between those two,
right?
Those two numbers. And that was not clarified.
Yeah.
And that's all I could think of.
Yeah.
It must be the everybody that they're in contact with, not just their teammates, but obviously they're going to be potentially in classes, right? They're going to be potentially being able to visit their family members during game days, I would think, right? After the games. So I wonder if that's what they're trying to get at is if there's a little bit of a spike, not just among players, but also among, you know, who they've been around.
Yeah, and again,
it's hard to determine because those people are not being tested daily.
Yeah, I think it has to do with just football. I mean, that's the answer the Ohio State doctor kind of gave, but I don't know if that means, I don't know what the total population is versus total number of tests because they're testing everybody. So, but mm-hmm. maybe the at risk part. I don't know.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Yeah, and then it's also a rolling 7-day average, they said, too. It's not just like one day of testing. It's the whole average for that week.
Yeah, great point. So that population positivity rate, just so you guys understand, green is 0 to 3.5%, orange is 3.5% to 7.5%, and red is greater than 7.5%. So, again, if you're talking about 150 individuals, 7.5%, I guess would be 10. So if you are red, you cannot play for 7 days and reassess metrics. Okay. So red is the you can't play metric. Orange, and orange red means that you teams must proceed with caution and enhance COVID-19 prevention. and consider the viability of continuing scheduled competition. So it sounds like they're leaving it up to each school in that case, which is kind of strange. But again, red kind of takes it out of their hands. That means you cannot play. So
yeah,
that's what it's going to be.
What they don't address, though, is what if you have a little bit of an outbreak among a certain position group?
Yeah, great point. Yeah, that's a great point.
What if you only have four, but they're all offensive linemen? You know, I mean, that's what could scuttle a game, you know, irregardless of these thresholds, right?
Yep, definitely. Yeah, if you don't have I mean, you could play with just about anybody at quarterback, but it would be tough. I mean, if you lost the whole quarterback room, if you lost kickers, you could get by, you know, you could find a way. But yeah, offensive line would be the one, and maybe defensive line as well. You really couldn't compete.
Right. Like if there's a couple positives in that room that everybody else has to then, you know, quarantine or isolate in the meantime because of that, you know, because they've been exposed potentially.
Right.
And that happens on a Friday. Right?
But don't you think with these daily tests, though, you don't have to quarantine as much because you know if you're positive, you know if you're negative. Right. That was kind of one thing that the doctor kind of outlined.
Yeah, that does help. It helps with contact tracing for sure. That is a big step, right? I agree. But every test, anytime you test positive for antigen, then they do a follow-up test to make sure it's a positive too. So there's two tests before you're actually declared COVID positive.
Yeah, and more will be asked of these guys. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, more. No, so then you got to isolate, or then you're done for 3 weeks. So it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's a lot to manage.
Yeah, obviously. And it's frankly, it is going to be a chore to. Let's hope. I guess it'll be interesting to see how the Hawkeyes, for you know, the team we cover. Mm. You know, if there is a positive, did they say, okay, well, Tyler Linderbaum, he's out 21 days. They announced that on a Thursday. Do they do that? Or do they keep that under wraps and we're just all like trying to find sourced information to say Linderbaum's not going to play? I think, I don't know. I guess the HIPAA stuff, they can't, but boy,
yeah,
that's going to be dicey territory, you know.
It is. We're seeing that elsewhere too, like Oklahoma and some schools, you know, they're, you know, LSU was kind of, you know, coy about their numbers. And so in some cases, you just have to wait till, you know, I know the was it Oklahoma actually that they had a bunch of guys that are out, and the beat writers were like looking at pregame warmups to determine who was actually in uniform, and found out there are a bunch of guys that were out.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's probably what it's going to come down to, and hopefully,
because they're going to report the numbers to the Big Ten office. They said, but they never said anything about making them public.
Yeah, and I understand not naming guys.
Yeah, but just like the total number, like, because they have been doing that at Iowa, at least in terms of the athletic department. Will they actually do it with the football team? Yeah, that's a very good question.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. So anyway, it's going to be a complex, wild ride. Obviously now practice can begin. I did text an Iowa coach yesterday, and he was not sure if they would actually be able to, you know, once they got the green light, if they could just get on the field the next day, if they'd be quite ready for that. Frankly, if I'm thinking from an Iowa perspective, and we will get to talk to Kirk Ferentz, I believe, later this week, but you're talking about 5 weeks and change here. I would think you'd look at really pretty intense conditioning, maybe these first 1.5-2 weeks, and then you know, almost like a 4-week training camp lead up to the season.
Yeah,
where they're going to have physical contact. I don't think there's any way around that.
Yeah, exactly. They get the 20 hours a week.
Yeah, they're back to full 20 hours. Yep. So interesting. I don't want to keep you too long, Mark. We both got a lot of stuff to write, but anything you feel like we missed, and we'll have a regular radio show tonight as well.
No, I mean, I think we kind of, I don't know if we mentioned it, but they're going to make a decision to sell like tomorrow about the rest of the fall sports. And those athletes are also going to get the daily testing. So we'll see what happens there. But obviously football was the one that everybody cares about the most. So that's the one they made the big announcement on. And I think we just wait and see. You know, this feels like it's really going to happen to me. Doesn't it to you?
Oh, yeah. There's no turning back now, right? I mean, they can't.
I kind of thought August, you know, it did. But then they always had that question. But, yeah, I mean, they're certainly going to try.
Well, that's what everyone kind of wanted. And I'm not.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted, the parents, all that, wanted to begin with. They just wanted them to try, you know.
Give it an effort, yeah.
I mean, maybe not just power through if they're uncertain about things, but at least just delay and all that stuff. And I don't know. I just wanted to ask Kevin Warren a question today so he would thank me for being on the call and say, good to hear your voice, even though I've never talked to him in person. that was hilarious. He's like,
he might not have thanked you.
That's what I wondered. Like, if there was actually somebody he didn't thank for being on the call and it was good to hear their voice, that would have been.
How about him getting asked directly about his poor communication?
That was great from Doug of who covers Ohio State. And he said, from a communication standpoint, when we had things to communicate, we did communicate. So I guess he just didn't know anything the whole time.
or he didn't say who he communicated with. Maybe just his immediate family.
Yeah, true. I guess.
Certainly not with us.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, anyway, we will definitely keep you guys posted. Now our work really feels like it's been a very long and busy off season on our end. With everything cropping up, but now I think it almost gets busier, Mark, as we just race towards the season.
Yeah, maybe we'll actually get to talk to some athletes.
Yeah, we have not since the Brandon Smith, Jamin Colbert, and Tyler Lindenbaum press conference, right? Right after the racial bias stuff. It's a long time ago.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Thanks for jumping on. We're going to go get some work done, and we'll have another radio show for you tonight. But thanks for subscribing, Hawk Central listeners, and we'll talk to you later.